High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Sean Sachs is a senior researcher at NGO Monitor. Sean, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on that song. I feel that
Definitely not my area of expertise.
Okay, cool. Following the deadly strike, aid organizations freeze Gaza operations. Two humanitarian aid groups freeze Gaza operations following the death of five World Central Kitchen employees. That's on Israel National News. This is obviously a potentially very serious situation. Take us through it.
Okay, so it actually is a very serious situation. What happened was late yesterday, a convoy of at least three cars belonging to an aid group called World Central Kitchen was mistakenly identified by Israeli aircraft as suspicious. And then through a mix-up of intelligence, it appears that the Israeli aircraft were ordered to fire on these aircraft. Israeli aircraft were ordered to fire on these vehicles, with the result being that five aid workers were unintentionally killed by the Israeli Defense Force. Now, it's very important to mention at the very outset, both the chief of staff, the Israeli spokesperson, and Prime Minister Netanyahu himself have all acknowledged that this was a terrible mistake. It was a tragic mistake. The Israeli Defense Force has already begun an investigation. And unfortunately, this tragic result is what happens in war zones all the time. Just going back over the last couple of years, we see aid workers unfortunately being unintentionally targeted around the world. And even in Israel, right now, we've just crossed the 600 threshold of 600 soldiers killed in this war, but according to different estimates, at least 10 to 15% have actually been killed in friendly fire instances. And this is the tragedy of war. Some people would call it the fog of war, where you have civilians, you have close quarter combat, you have all kinds of different things happening in the same time, and a brutal enemy like Hamas that doesn't care very much about who and what they kill in the interim. They knowingly embed themselves in civilian populations. And we even see they're very proud of the fact that they don't wear uniforms, that they use civilians to transport weapons. And this is what happens. It's a tragic situation. And Israel has taken responsibility, and they're going to investigate.
And of course, we even saw, I think it was around about December time, when Israel inadvertently killed three of the hostages, or a number of hostages. I don't remember exactly how many it was.
And exactly.
And that is the similar type of fog of war, which is just absolutely awful, but happens under very imperfect conditions.
Absolutely. And at least from an Israeli perspective, they have acknowledged that this was a terrible tragedy. They're responsible. Unfortunately, the following result is that organizations like World Kitchen, which is actually an organization that is apolitical and does their best to provide meals, has suspended their work. But learning from this terrible tragedy, the Israeli Defense Force has set up a joint control room within the Southern Command, where they will be able to coordinate aid with different NGOs and aid organizations. And this is going to happen directly with Southern Command, not via intermediaries and not even via what used to be called the civilian control center that was set up by the IDF. This is going to be, they're going to have a direct connection with the IDF Southern Command, which are responsible for all major operations in Gaza. So it's a terrible tragedy, but the IDF is learning from it, and hopefully both aid groups and those who need aid can continue to receive support.
What kind of, you know, you've mentioned that this happens in many conflicts and around the world. What is normally the response to an event like this?
Well, it very much depends. depends, and that's what we see is fascinating here. Just over the last couple of years, if you look at conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen, there are dozens of reports of aid workers being killed, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes even being targeted by various militias and government groups. And for the most part, within a few hours, if there's a small condemnation, occasionally the European Union will say something, and then it goes away. But we've gotten used to the fact that the rules change when Israel is involved. Israel is constantly under a microscope, and any time something goes wrong, it's an excuse for many people to jump on and say, see, Israel is wrong, Israel is always doing these terrible things. And rather than look at the reality of, well, this happens in all situations, we need to get used to the fact that Israel will always be found guilty regardless of the situation and regardless of the facts on the ground.
So would you say that this is a perfect example, or certainly an apt example, of cognitive bias, the confirmation bias, where people are looking for something to prove a narrative that exists in their mind?
That's exactly how I would put it, because when you have various organizations that are saying Israel is bad, Israel is bad, Israel is bad, and in some cases even inventing situations, when a tragedy like this actually happens, all it does is, like you say, it just confirms your bias.
Right, because, you see, this is exactly what we said. We knew that Israel would deprive people of aid and, in fact, harm people who are trying to assist.
Yes, that's exactly what has happened. But with all that, I think the two most important lessons that need to be learned from this is, one, Israel is always going to be under a microscope, and complaining about it, unfortunately, doesn't change anything. And the second, and this is important, that the Israeli Defense Force needs to get better at what they do. Just starting from the 7th of October, we had a number of friendly fire instances. The tragic situation where Israeli Defense Force ground troops fired at the hostages, as you mentioned, and now this situation where inadvertently aid workers have been killed. It's a horrible situation, and yes, as much as we appreciate the work of the Israeli Defense Force, they need to learn and get better at it. Let's start with that. We need to get better. It's a war. It's complicated. People have died inadvertently. Let's improve the situation.
Is the number that you've spoken about
the world's not going to help?
The number that you spoke about, the 10% or whatever it would be, is that higher than in other conflicts?
No, it's about, depending on the conflict, again, this is a slight side issue. Depending on conflicts that have been studied using modern methods, starting with the first Gulf War in 1991 until today, estimates of friendly fire instances where you fire on your own troops go between 10 and 35%, depending on the conflict, which is staggering when you think about modern technology and communication and GPS and things like that. Even to the point where in the American and Allied invasion of Iraq, there were some cases where over 50% of casualties were friendly fire, or what the Americans called blue on blue. And these things happen, unfortunately, all the time. And it's almost impossible to avoid it. And we're talking about situations where you're firing on your own troops. So when it comes to firing on a convoy that appears to be civilian in a hostile area, and the same type of vehicles that have already been used to carry out attacks against Israelis, and there is a lack of direct communication with the organization in that area, and we have communication between ground troops and air troops, and then the information has to get back to intelligence, and you have to act immediately. It's a terrible situation, but you can almost understand how these things happen.
It's interesting. I would have understood it more of the troops on the ground, because there, when you talk about the fog of war, there's more fog of war. From a distance, in terms of the Air Force, in terms of intelligence, I would imagine that this happens less than troops on the ground, where they are exhausted and they are stressed and all these other factors come into play in a different sort of a way.
Not necessarily, and there's a couple. There's at least a report right now that has come out in the Jerusalem Post 2 or 3 days ago of helicopter pilots that are also, they're under stress. They're flying missions around the clock, and a pilot acknowledged that at least on one occasion he almost inadvertently fired on his own troops because of a lack of communications and everything else. And this is an Israeli Air Force pilot acknowledging it. But also imagine the fact that pilots, whether they're in helicopters or in jets, have got a limited window of opportunity to engage in targets. And that limited window, we've seen this before, if they choose not to engage, they're given information, they say there's a target here, it's a white Land Rover heading towards our troops, it appears suspicious. Now, assume the pilot says, wait a minute, I need more confirmation. In the 30 seconds he's waiting, that particular white Land Rover could be laden with explosives or be an RPG team, or it could be an aid convoy. And he has to make the decision almost instantaneously. And he's looking at it from the ground, either in a fast-moving attack jet or in a helicopter. And sometimes it's a drone operator that, again, he's getting mixed signals and mixed communications from people on the ground.
Yeah, it really does paint a very, very different picture. And thank you for that, because it really does give us a sense of exactly what it is that some of these channels are. That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always. It's 8:57.